I admit I'm confused by the Fox News there.
Oh man, it's all out of balance again. I thought I fixed that yesterday.
Anyway. Wait, if somebody's a drifter, then kind of by definition, they don't live in their parents' basement, right?
What were they talking about?
That was all I caught, was somebody's not a drifter who lives in his parents' basement. Well, yeah, I mean, if he's a drifter, he probably lives in some stranger's basement, right? For a week or something. And then this whole Benghazi thing. Hey, Republicans, and I don't mean, you know, the ones with power, but I mean people who vote for Republicans. David Petraeus was running guns to Al-Qaeda, okay? That's the big secret. That's the big cover-up. Now, do you think that the Republican Party is going to tell you the truth about David Petraeus being guilty of high treason? Do you think that that's what this investigation is about? Do you think Republicans, I mean the ones with power, the party, that they care about the truth of anything in the whole world? Because no, yeah, no, they don't. They don't care about what's true. The fact that they're making a big deal about Benghazi is actually mystifying to me. Don't they know that someone might bring up that David Petraeus is guilty of high treason? I mean, even Fox News had it right in one article that, yeah, there was a gun-running thing here. The CIA was running guns from Libyan Mujahideen to Syrian Mujahideen. Gaddafi's weapons. Oh, yeah, we're searching for the shoulder-fired surface-to-air missiles. Those we gotta keep out of the hands of jihadis. Everything else we give them. You know, the London Times did a thing where, yeah, there's a giant ship full of guns at this harbor in Turkey, and all the different Syrian Mujahideen guys are fighting about who gets them. We got some Muslim Brotherhood here, we got some Al-Nusra Front there, and we've got, I don't know, some hand-picked moderates or something. They're all fighting over who's going to get the guns, and guess what? Those most willing to suicide bomb the others were the ones who ended up with the guns. And that's what is the giant Benghazi scandal, that David Petraeus is guilty of high treason. Hey, he had a memo, okay? There was a finding from the president authorizing him to do it. So I'm not saying it was illegal. I'm just saying it was a crime. And that's different. Yeah, all this Benghazi thing. Yeah, Carter Ham, Mirko in the chat room brings up Carter Ham. He was the general running AFRICOM at the time. And I don't know what all his role was, but anyway, if you're paying attention to Libya now, you know that the scam is that, well, this General Haftar, which who knows what makes him a general, really, he's a CIA agent who lived outside of, well, at least a CIA, you know, Not a CIA officer, but a CIA agent working for them. Not one of them, necessarily. You know what I mean. People use that term agent too loosely. Officer is officer. Agent is tool of officer. Right? Okay. And he lived in Virginia for 30-something years, and now he's done a putsch and has thrown out the parliament, at least for now, and is taking on some of the Islamist militias. The parliament is calling the Islamist militias to come and put an end to his putsch, and it looks like the U.S. is in on it because they got the Marines ready in Sicily and we're all ready to go evacuating some chosen people out of Tripoli and that kind of thing. And the reason that he's got a bunch of jihadists to fight this CIA guy, which, hey, at least Obama is, pivoting back against Al-Qaeda in Libya, if it's really true this is a CIA thing, which it looks like. Got to give him credit for that, at least. But the reason that he's got Mujahideen to fight there is because of his high treason from before. When Barack Obama and David Petraeus and Hillary Clinton and Leon Panetta all entered into a criminal conspiracy to launch a war against Libya without the authorization of Congress, without even the pretense of any kind of self-defense or even national interest. That was part of what was so great about it, was that it was purely benevolent with no profit or interest motive of the United States whatsoever. Really, believe that. It's only because we care so much. And then, as Jonathan Turley is pointing out in an article today, Obama literally asserted that he gets to define what's a war and what's not. Not that Congress gets to declare war, but that if he, the president, decides that something is just a kinetic action, then it's just a kinetic action. And the War Powers Act and Article 1, Section 8, Clause 11 don't cover kinetic actions. And, yeah. It's just an air war, and it's just arming up the Europeans to finish it, and special forces on the ground, and that's none of your business anyway. And so, had a whole war for the Mujahideen. And go back and listen to the archives of this show from 2011, and there are all the experts saying, yeah, it's a war for the Mujahideen. Giraldi and Scheuer and McGovern and the former CIA guys, of course, the heroic Patrick Coburn and David Enders, both on the ground in Libya. And then there were a couple of more reporters from on the ground in Libya we talked to at the time. Said, yeah, these guys are what we called Al-Qaeda in Iraq just the other year when they were the bad guys resisting the American-Iranian effort to install the Shiite Arabs in power in Baghdad and to kick all the Sunnis out. And anyway, so... now we're fighting them. And listen, I understand that right-wingers have to have a tail to chase. It's not like conservative leaders. It's not like there's such a thing as conservative intellectuals. And it's not like conservative power leaders are respect their followers enough to tell them the truth about anything ever. They have to be sold some ridiculous scare story about, you know, the homos want to let all the Mexicans gay marry your Sharia daughter, some crap, some stupid thing that they're afraid of. That someone's going to teach a young black girl to read, and then she's going to outcompete their sorry asses in the marketplace, or, you know, whatever they're frightened of. They have to be told something. But why Benghazi? Why is the Republican leadership picking on this Benghazi thing? There's so many scandals that, and I know all of the worst Obama administration policies really are Republican policies. So they're going to run into this problem wherever they go. But David Petraeus, he's the last great white hope for these kooks. Conservatives, I mean, in America. Jeb can't win. The only Republican who could maybe ever win again in America would be the hero, David Petraeus. Yes, it's true, he lost two wars and is guilty of the high treason of helping Al-Qaeda in Libya funnel Gaddafi's weapons to Al-Qaeda in Syria. But that doesn't matter. Nobody really cares that he lost Iraq, that he lost Afghanistan. TV says he's a hero. He won Washington, D.C. and New York City. And nobody cares that he cheated on his wife. You ever see his wife, you'd cheat on her too. Nothing lovable about her. Nobody cares about that. He's a war hero. He lost two wars. But other than that, he's a war hero, and the Republicans, I think, are risking the chance that they might bring up activities which involve their number one hero. Mirko in the chat room is saying, well, yeah, I mean, of course, they're just going after Hillary Clinton. She was in charge of the State Department that day. It was her guy that got lynched, and so what about that, and et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, of course. That's what it's all about. They're trying to hurt Hillary. But how's this supposed to look when it's the Hillary versus David Petraeus debate? And they're trying to hang Benghazi on her when she was just the Secretary of State, okay? She's the stupid idiot who thought it was a good idea. David Petraeus was running guns to Osama bin Laden's men. Dig it? And okay, I mean... they weren't bin Laden's men anymore. They were at the start of the operation, right? Bin Laden was still alive till May of 2011. So when they started out, they were outright fighting for Osama bin Laden. By the time of the Benghazi attack in 2012, of course, they were only Ayman al-Zawahiri's men. And by the way, I told you this before. I think that Rachel Maddow told the most accurate story of what happened at the Benghazi attack on the first day. And of course, she's, I don't know if she's taken it back, but she never talks about it ever since because it's not the government's narrative. It's not Obama's narrative. But what she tells the story is that Obama, with a drone strike, killed a guy named Sheikh Yahya al-Libi, a Libyan al-Qaeda member in Pakistan in June of 2012. And then right before the September 11th anniversary, Ayman al-Zawahiri put out a podcast saying, hey, and the call goes out to the Libyan Mujahideen, that you've got the Americans right where you want them. They murdered your comrade, Sheikh Yahya al-Libi, brother of the other Sheikh al-Libi that Dick Cheney tortured into falsely accusing Saddam Hussein of being friends with Osama and providing him chemical weapons and his men training in making them and in hijacking aircraft, who Gaddafi then murdered for the CIA, for George W. Bush. And so what you ought to do is you ought to get revenge on the Americans, who were dumb enough to build a base in the middle of your hornet's nest. So get them. I'm roughly paraphrasing Ayman al-Zawahiri here, you understand. But go and look it up. Go and watch the Rachel Maddow clip from shortly after the Benghazi attack happened. She puts it all together. That's what happened, man. It was Ansar al-Sharia who are just... all they are, goddammit, is al-Qaeda in Iraq. That's who they are. When they were in Iraq, they were al-Qaeda in Iraq. Right now they're in Syria. They're called al-Qaeda in Iraq and Syria. They're Zarqawi's men. They're Bin Laden's men. That's who they are. That's who killed the ambassador. Because David Petraeus, guilty of high treason, was arming al-Qaeda and it blew up in his face and killed the ambassador. There, conservatives. Take that and blow your own brains out with it, you stupid idiots. Hey, y'all. Scott Horton here for WallStreetWindow.com. Mike Swanson knows his stuff. He made a killing running his own hedge fund and always gets out of the stock market before the government-generated bubbles pop. Which is, by the way, what he's doing right now. Selling all his stocks and betting on gold and commodities. Sign up at WallStreetWindow.com and get real-time updates from Mike on all his market moves. It's hard to know how to protect your savings and earn a good return in an economy like this. Mike Swanson can help. Follow along on paper and see for yourself. WallStreetWindow.com. Hey y'all, Scott Horton here for Braswell Business Communication Services at FusePowder.com. Braswell Communications can provide a credentialed media presence for your company at industry conferences and trade shows, as well as support services and consultation for publishing, editorial and technical writing, business-to-business and marketing communications, research, and information campaigns. Braswell also does website development and complete web content maintenance to include voiceover audio and copywriting. Strengthen your business. FusePowder.com. All right, y'all. Welcome back to the show. I'm Scott Horton. This is my show, The Scott Horton Show. No guests answer me back today. I don't know why. I emailed them. I says, hey, can you do the show? Now, the good news is tomorrow, Craig or Cindy Corey will be on the show. They have important news for us. They're in the Supreme Court in Israel right now, appealing their lower court's quite immoral refusal to hold anyone in the Israeli government accountable for the murder of their daughter. But anyway, so, yeah, good old Corey's, man. They're good folks. No wonder she was such a good kid, you know? With, parents like them. They'll be back on the show tomorrow. One of them will. To talk about, what the hell. And, let's see, Michael Ratner, maybe we'll hear from him. I want to talk with him about drones and the NDAA and all kinds of crap. And then, who else did I invite? Some others. Oh, Will Grigg. Man, don't you worry. With or without Will Grigg, we're going to get some complaining about the cops done on the show today. And I really should get Jason on. You know what? Let me email Jason. Let's see if I can get Jason Ditz from antiwar.com to talk about Libya. He's been really good on this stuff lately here. He was really good back during the war. All right, let's see. Jason, is there any chance you could do the show today at 3:34? I know this is your favorite part of the show. Or 4:30 Eastern. Libya. Thanks. Best, Scott. All right. Now we may or may not get Jason Ditz on the phone to talk about Libya. I was trying to get Patrick Coburn on too, but I didn't hear back from him. He could be traveling and reporting. But anyway, there's a lot of important stuff to talk about. Perhaps you saw Rand Paul. He didn't filibuster, but he gave a big speech on the Senate floor today against the confirmation of David Barron for a federal judgeship. Or what is it? Yeah. He was a Justice Department lawyer. Now he's going to be a federal judge. And he's the guy that wrote the memo, one of the guys that wrote one of the memos, supposedly justifying, rationalizing, authorizing Barack Obama to murder Anwar Awlaki, Samir Khan, Abdulrahman Awlaki, and others, other Americans that he's killed. And so anyway, if you want to talk about that, I'm happy to talk about that. I got plenty of things to say about it myself, but, you know, it might be a good idea to save what I think until the end and hear what you guys think. If anybody wants to call in and get involved on the show, we'll have an open line here today at 512-271-4836, 512-271-4836. And by the way, they confirmed him. That was it. I saw it. I saw it this morning on C-SPAN 2 or 3, 2. They confirmed a lawyer who so-called authorized, wrote a memo authorizing the president to murder an American citizen off the battlefield. Only on the battlefield in the completely ridiculous, made-up sense where the entire world is a battlefield. Even, you know, at the Mid-Atlantic Ridge, it's a battlefield. And as long as imminent doesn't mean imminent, but means we think maybe could at some point, possibly in our suspicions that we imagine. Unbelievable. You know, it is believable, but I don't know. I wonder if I was like 300 years old, whether this would simply be the culmination of, yeah, this is what happens when you have a government for this long in a row. They're just going to keep passing laws until, you know, when they don't have any more laws to pass, what else do you think they're going to do other than legalize their own criminal behavior? They're not going to stop exercising power. So they're going to kill people. And, of course, they always killed people, but this kind of thing where they're, you know, supposedly authorizing it and making it legal and not just, oops, my finger slipped on the trigger kind of thing. Pretty big deal, you know, precedence-wise. And, yeah, I don't know if you guys saw the floor of the House, the floor of the U.S. Senate today. I don't know. It seemed like a pretty big non-event, basically. Yeah, Rand Paul said a thing, big deal. Are we going to do this thing or what? Okay, done. Boy, and then over on the other C-SPAN, they're talking about Boko Haram. And it was the Democrats and the Republicans, too. Like, they all got some mass email this morning. How do I get on these proper email lists for my politician talking points? I want some. Where, they demanded to know, is every Muslim leader in the world on this Boko Haram issue? Huh? I don't get it. Not every biped? Every monotheist? How about that? Where are all the monotheists on this Boko Haram issue? Or where are the Hindus? You know, the average Hindu looks a lot more like a Nigerian than the average American. So, is it looks? Are we going by looks? We could go by looks as long as we're just making up stupid crap. And speaking of the Hindus, somebody tweeted the other day, and I retweeted it because of how smart it was, that you notice that nobody is requiring all Hindus and all Hindu leaders in the world to denounce the BJP. And yet, the BJP, there's some pretty murderous, hardcore right-wing nationalists just coming to power in India. So, you hear now hear this, Hindus. Unless each and every one of you puts out a press release to the local news in, I don't know, every district in America where every congressman can see it, that you don't agree with the BJP, then, yeah, you are an Indian Nazi. Get it? How about all Africans? All Africans. Where are all Africans on this Boko Haram issue? I'm sorry. I don't mean to just completely be ridiculous about this, but who cares if they cite Islam? That doesn't mean anything. Islam doesn't cite them. Lots of kooks say a lot of stuff. You know, Jim Jones said he was acting, as a emissary or whatever for Jesus Christ. So what? Nobody took that seriously. I don't think every minister in America had to take time out to make sure to differentiate himself. Or, you know, that may have been before I was born. Certainly it was when I was a tiny kid. But when David Koresh and the Branch Davidians were a thing, nobody thought that every Christian sect on the planet had to distance themselves from David Koresh. Not that he had ever murdered 200 boys or kidnapped 200 girls like Boko Haram, but for the way that they painted him, sure. For the way that they painted him, he was worse than Saddam Hussein, who had, you remember, by 1993 had ceased working for Ronald Reagan and had fallen out of favor with George H.W. Bush and Bill Clinton there and had become a bad guy. What is this? It's ridiculous. It's based on the false, goddamn Fox News. It's based on the false assumption and premise that Islam motivates people to attack and kill civilians. But that's not an Islam anywhere. If there's any call to battle in Islam, it is for defensive war. And there's nothing defensive about killing kids. Just like there's nothing defensive about it when America's government goes rampaging around the world killing kids too. You know, like they do every single day. And now I personally take it as a responsibility to denounce my government for what it does every single day due to its claimed association with me. But you never hear me put that on everyone else. That everyone is sworn some duty to distance themselves from the U.S. government when it, not Boko Haram and not any group of Muslims anywhere in the world, is the greatest purveyor of violence against innocents on this planet. Give me a break. You know, it was like watching a Klan rally. I swear to God, it was unbelievable. The Democrats and the Republicans racing, and what they're doing is they're supposedly, this is all in the guise of them questioning some State Department weenie lady, saying, well, geez, guys, you know, in Nigeria, they all denounce Boko Haram. You know, where Boko Haram is an issue, everybody's against them except them. And what are they doing about it? Well, many of them, you understand, are absolutely terrorized and terrified of Boko Haram, and they don't want to stick their neck out and get it cut off and maybe their own children killed. So, you know, this is where, and then the problem is the government, which is supposed to help them, just comes and kills them too. And that's the only thing driving support for Boko Haram in the first place. Is any of this good enough for the Republicans and the Democrats on C-SPAN 3 this morning? No. I just don't understand what it is with these damned Muslims, they all said. I don't know, man. I think we shouldn't have a Congress. That's my position. Hey, Oscar, where are you? here for the bumpersticker.com. I created it, but quickly sold. Sorry, that wasn't supposed to be that loud. Damn.
The military-industrial complex. The disastrous rise of misplaced power.
Hey, y'all, Scott Horton here. I'd like for you to read this book, The War State, by Michael Swanson. America's always gone to war a lot, though in older times it would disarm for a bit between each one. But in World War II, the U.S. built a military and intelligence apparatus so large, it ended up reducing the former constitutional government to an almost ceremonial role and converting our economy into an engine of destruction. In The War State, Michael Swanson does a great job telling the sordid history of the rise of this national security state, relying on important first-hand source material, but writing for you and me. Find out how Presidents Truman, Eisenhower, and Kennedy all alternately empowered and fought to control this imperial beast, and how the USA has gotten to where it is today, corrupt, bankrupt, soaked in blood, despised by the world. The War State by Michael Swanson, available at Amazon.com and at Audible.com. Or just click the logo in the right-hand margin at scotthorton.org.
We should take nothing for granted.
Hey, I'm Scott Horton here for The Future of Freedom, the monthly journal of the Future of Freedom Foundation. Edited by libertarian purist Sheldon Richman, The Future of Freedom brings you the best of our movement. Featuring articles by Richman, Jacob Hornberger, James Bovard, and many more, The Future of Freedom stands for peace and liberty and against our criminal world empire and Leviathan state. Subscribe today. It's just $25 per year for the back pocket size print edition, $15 per year to read it online. That's The Future of Freedom at fff.org/subscribe. Peace and freedom. Thank you. All right, y'all, welcome back. I'm Scott Horton. Yeah, Mirko in the chat room says, hey, John Hagee comes out and says horrible stuff all the time about, what did he say, nuke Mecca? Yeah, why not? All these guys come out with crazy, horrible things that they say all the time, religious leaders of all stripes. And no one ever says that everyone else tacitly supports what they say if they don't come out with an outright denial of it. I mean, what the hell is that? How many different things can all people oppose all damn day when they've got work to do and families to take to soccer practice and crap? I hereby condemn all things that are evil from now on, okay, everybody? And since I don't really believe in religion, I'll go ahead and speak on behalf of all religions and all religious leaders on the planet. We all condemn everything that is wrong. From now on, that happens too. Retroactively and onward permanently into the future. There. Don't worry, Muslims. You don't have to apologize for things that you have nothing to do with anymore because I just took care of it for you. I have sorried for your sins that really aren't yours at all, that have nothing to do with you at all. You see, Republicans and Democrats, they're the scum of the earth. They're the worst people in the whole world. And they're the most obsessed with psychopathic levels of violence. They, I don't think more than a handful of them actually ever went and did the fighting themselves. Not that that would make them heroes or anything, but most of them are just obsessed with the vicarious bloodletting. They're the worst people on the planet Earth. They're worse than the Ayatollahs that rule Iran. They're worse than the Politburo communist fascist dictatorship in China. They're the government of the USA. They're monsters. And so really, if anything, if you hear them attacking your religion, then that should just make you believe in it more. You know? If the Democrats and the Republicans don't like it, maybe you're onto something. Because they are the worst people on the planet. And they prove it all day, every day. Boko Haram, give me a break. Oh my God, did you hear that somewhere in the world there's a tribe of bark-eating crazies that want to fight? No, really? Wow, my emotions are going to get all caught up in this for, I don't know, the next little while until TV tells me to stop, I guess, then. For God's sake. Barack Obama kills 200 girls a week. In Afghanistan, Pakistan, Yemen, Somalia, Libya, Syria. He backs actual no-fooling Hitler-loving Nazis in Ukraine. But you want him to go rescue your 200 girls in Nigeria? Give me a break. Yeah, that's all Obama ever wanted to do was rescue somebody. I just don't know, man. All right. Hey, let me talk about Rand Paul for a minute. I can't stand Rand Paul, man. I don't know. He's just so bad on so many things, and he doesn't have to be. That's the other thing. If he was good on everything, he'd be in a much better position. All this compromising all the time. All this, no, I'm not even saying that. All I'm saying is this. You know what? Maybe it is a great electoral strategy in the USA where everybody is, you know, principle-less. But he is the best senator we got. He is the only one who got up there and gave a speech today about this. And he threatened to do a filibuster and put a hold on this guy's nomination unless he got the memo. But then once he released the hold on the guy, he voted against him, but he did release the hold. I guess that was the deal. But then, so what's the memo say? The president's the commander-in-chief, the Congress passed the AUMF, the president can murder whoever he wants, and we're all lucky, knew a guy who published a magazine, and then also Barack Obama felt like murdering him, and there is no controlling legal authority, and sovereign immunity like Lon Horiuchi, and what are you going to do? Impeach me? That's what I thought, bitch. And what? That's what it says. That's the legal reasoning. What are you going to do about it? Nothing. So, the president can kill American citizens. That's the memo. They got it released. But it's kind of amazing to me. The most important thing about it maybe was just for the Federal Register for the future historians that, yeah, man, you know, a senator actually had to give a speech and say, quoting Glenn Greenwald, I approve, Rand. Quoting Glenn Greenwald, just because the government accuses someone of being a terrorist doesn't mean that they're a terrorist. It only means that they've been accused of it. Now, he could have gone farther and said, yeah, so how about all those Afghans and Pakistanis and Yemenis and Somalis that he's murdered with drones too? Aren't they just accused? If the law was the law, then wouldn't they be under arrest and then U.S. persons subject to the American court system and the Bill of Rights? But anyway, here we're talking about American citizens who are U.S. persons anywhere they go on the battlefield. And Rand Paul said that, look, if we're talking about anywhere they go in the world, the battlefield, see, it worked on me. They brainwashed me. They say the world's a battlefield. Rand Paul said, look, If an American soldier was actually in the act of high treason on the battlefield fighting against American soldiers in battles, by all means, they have the right to kill him, right? I mean, the cartoon version would be if they went and joined up Hitler's Wehrmacht, then tough luck for you when the artillery shell blows you to hell, Nazi. Get dead. No law protects you fighting in an enemy state's army against your own country. At that point, you're done, but you've done it yourself. But Anwar al-Awlaki was not on a battlefield, and Anwar al-Awlaki was not really a soldier or a terrorist. And Rand Paul was willing, I think, to give him the benefit of the doubt, to give the government the benefit of the doubt that they may know what they're talking about this, what this guy's guilty of. He didn't really assume the innocence, the actual innocence of al-Awlaki, but he was forced to remind the United States Senate that al-Awlaki was legally innocent until proven guilty. I would add that he actually, there's no reason to really believe at all, I don't think. I've never heard of a reason to believe that he actually was a member of al-Qaeda. Or certainly that he was, you know, what they call operational, helping plan terrorist attacks against the United States. He was interviewed. He didn't do the interview. He was interviewed in their magazine. he put up YouTubes saying he sided with their cause and thought that their violence against American civilians even was legitimate. But that's freedom of speech. And especially for a religious figure, he's double extra indemnified for saying what he wants like that. What he cannot do, what is not free speech, is conspiring to commit a crime. But encouraging others to do so is okay. That's Brandenburg versus Ohio. Even to make a vague threat, like, you know, one day we're going to get you. Or, you know, whoever you are, you should pick up a gun and overthrow the U.S. government with it. That's not a crime to say. Now, of course, there's no law that stops them from doing whatever they want with you, so be careful. But the Supreme Court ruled that when a Klansman said, "We are going to get revengeance against you," that that was protected speech. That what he may not do is lead a mob in an actual act of vengeance. Come on, this is the house. Let's go in there and get them. That is crime. That is not protected speech. But anything short of it is protected speech. Because this is America. Anyway, Rand Paul wasn't even, you know, arguing the free speech case. He was just saying, if this guy's guilty of treason, you prosecute him. That's it. He's got a right to a trial. That's it. And who's he explaining this to? The United States Senate? And then they went ahead and confirmed the guy for a federal judgeship anyway? How would you like to have a case in federal court before a judge who says that the president can murder you if he wants? That he can be the cop, the prosecutor, the judge, the jury, and the executioner, all in one. Because AUMF or something. It's absolutely incredible. And then Rand Paul also said he's seen the memo. We haven't seen it yet, but he's seen the memo in a private secret room, and he kind of mocked the way that they set it up. He said he saw the memo in a private secret room, and it has precedents that it cites. And you know what he said? He said the precedents that it cites are completely irrelevant. They have nothing to do with killing American citizens at all, because this is unprecedented. So they just cite a bunch of garbage. Right? Like John Yoo culling through Medicare statutes to find a definition of pain that he can use in a torture memo. Right? Has nothing to do with it. It's a damned lie. Because the Bill of Rights is the Bill of Rights. Amendment 5 is Amendment 5. And no president has ever claimed the power to murder American citizens like this before. It's brand new. There is no precedent for them to cite. And then the liberals, the Democrats of the U.S. Senate confirmed him anyway. As Rand Paul said, these people at least complain, not they did anything about it, but they complain about Bush holding detainees, even foreigners, without charges. But they're okay with him killing even American, Obama killing even American citizens? Phone records, financial and location data, Prism, Tempora, X Key Score, Boundless Informant. Hey, y'all, Scott Horton here for offnow.org. Now here's the deal. Due to the Snowden revelations, we have a great opportunity for a short period of time to get some real rollback of the national surveillance state. Now, they're already trying to tire us by introducing fake reforms in the Congress. And the courts, they betrayed their sworn oaths to the Constitution and Bill of Rights again and again, and can in no way be trusted to stop the abuses for us. We've got to do it ourselves. How? We nullify it at the state level. It's still not easy. The Off Now project of the 10th Amendment Center has gotten off to a great start. I mean it. There's real reason to be optimistic here. They've gotten their model legislation introduced all over the place, in state after state. I've lost count, more than a dozen. You're always wondering, yeah, but what can we do? Here's something. Something important. Something that can work if we do the work. Get started cutting off the NSA support in your state. Go to offnow.org. You hate government? One of them libertarian types? Or maybe you just can't stand the president, gun grabbers, or warmongers? Me too. That's why I invented LibertyStickers.com. Well, Rick owns it now, and I didn't make up all of them, but still, if you're driving around and want to tell everyone else how wrong their politics are, there's only one place to go. LibertyStickers.com has got your bumper covered. Left, right, libertarian, empire, police state, founders quote, central banking. Yes, bumper stickers about central banking. Lots of them. and, well, everything that matters. LibertyStickers.com. Everyone else's stickers suck. All right, you guys. So, yeah, liberals, man, you know how they are. When Democrats are in power, they don't care about war. They don't care about the Bill of Rights. They don't care about nothing except gimme. Gimme. Ron Wyden, who you might want to think of as the Rand Paul of the Democrats or whatever, who's been a tiny bit good on the NSA and all that, he voted to confirm this guy. And so did Elizabeth Warren. All the progressive heroes lined up to confirm for a federal judgeship a guy who wrote a memo saying that the President of the United States has the power and authority to murder an American citizen. Which, the fact that they only made that crap up in the 2010s is proof that it's just not true. Right there, that's kind of all you need to know, that Millard Fillmore never thought that he had that authority, did he? So get the hell out of here. And the thing is, if Elizabeth Warren, for example, maybe you like her some or something, if she did this, then she is a horrible devil. And she is the enemy of all that is good, true, and beautiful. She is a horrible, terrible, despicable person. She has betrayed her sacred oath to the Bill of Rights. This is beyond the pale. This is the definition of beyond the pale. Of no, nothing about you can ever be okay again. What the hell is this? Russia? That's the way Vladimir Putin does it. That was what Jacob Hornberger was saying on his show the other day. On his show and also in an article. Why is Obama acting like Putin? I actually didn't read the article. Does he bring up Anna Politkovskaya? My wife, the investigative reporter Larissa Alexandrovna, says that Putin killed Anna Politkovskaya, her friend. And I don't know all the details, but I know that she was shot dead. And if my lady says that Putin did it, then Putin did it. And that's the same kind of thing. Same kind of thing. So especially when everybody left and right is in the middle of beating their chests about Vladimir Putin this month and last, for the last few, I guess. You know, you might look at the parallel there. But there you go. I mean, who knows? And, you know, Rand Paul said in his speech, too, hey, look, this isn't that one thing that they did that one time. If they can do this, then that means that they can do this. Okay? If this is the precedent set, then that means that they can keep doing it. Not just to Alaki, but to somebody else and to somebody else. We've got to put a stop to this, or else what might happen? If the president can murder you, what can't he do to you? And all they got is, well, we think Alaki might have been in the room when two other people were talking about the cartridge plot or the Abdulmutallab underbomber plot. What? In other words, he made YouTubes in English encouraging American Muslims to attack soft targets. And they decided that, no, we're going to kill this guy. And that is a dangerous thing. But it's permissible within the bounds of freedom. Defined, enshrined in the permanent highest law in America, the Bill of Rights, the First Amendment. And if Alaki was guilty of treason, they could have just prosecuted him for treason. Funny, I know, but the government already thought of that, that maybe they would want to prosecute someone for treason, so they already have a law like that, have all along. It's actually defined in the Constitution. They were trying to keep it from being abused, but if what they claim about Alaki is true, that they have intelligence, that he really was an operational co-conspirator in the underpants bombing plot or the cartridge plot, then they could just arrest him and put him on trial and convict him. It would take them a moment to get their conviction. Sorry about that. So, yeah, anyway, liberals are horrible. They're just horrible, man. They don't even care. Well, the Democrats. I should pick on the Democrats more than liberals, because I think your typical liberal does care about this stuff. Not nearly as much as they would if it was, you know, somebody named Bush doing it. But the Democratic Party, man, they'll put a knife right in your back. Yeah, someone in the chat room has mentioned Warren's bad on Syria. I didn't even notice, because I already knew that she was bad on Iran back before the Syria thing. When I heard some of the horrible, dishonest stuff she was saying about Iran and their nuclear program or whatever, I knew she was just forget about it. And I'm no liberal anyway, but you know how I am. I got my priorities, and war and peace and the Bill of Rights, those are the priorities. We can argue, and the right is no better on economics at all anywhere. Well, and the left's no better on war. We gotta end the empire to save the economy anyway. Okay, there's nothing we can do for the economy with a world empire. First things first, and also killing people is, you know, blowing them up to death and all of that is the most immoral thing. And taxing people in order to force them to help pay for such efforts. These are the major crises of our time. The spying and the murdering and the destruction of the Bill of Rights, the torture, and the impunity, the lawlessness that, you know, goes along with it all. I mean, it's completely out of control at this point. And you look at what happened with Jose Padilla. Jose Padilla, apparently, had been to Afghanistan. I don't know if he actually really ever met a single Arab Afghan over there or not. He was apparently had gone to a couple of training camps or something, and had. But what happened was he was acquainted somehow with Binyam Mohammed. And he was a guy that the CIA tortured by cutting his genitals with razor blades until he would finally come up with some nonsense about some kind of plot to attack America. So he made one up about his friend Jose Padilla and how they were going to set off a dirty bomb. And he actually, cribbed from, paraphrased from memory, an old, I don't know how he had ever come across this, a ridiculous, I mean, not even funny, right? Like a stupid thing that was written in Rolling Stone in the 1970s about how to make a nuclear bomb out of stuff in your kitchen. And, you know, I forgot how you get the uranium. You get it from the lettuce core or whatever. And then you spin it around in a bucket over your head is how you enrich it up to weapons grade, right? It's completely stupid. It's not even funny. It's so stupid. And he said, yeah, you know, we're going to enrich the uranium by swinging around in a bucket over our head and this and that. And so based on that lie, John Ashcroft had the FBI arrest Jose Padilla when he landed at O'Hare Airport in Chicago, American soil, as an American-born American citizen. He landed at O'Hare Airport. He's arrested by FBI agents in blue parkas and suits and, you know, maybe some SWAT gear or whatever, but they're civilian, American, domestic, federal police. And then I think he got one hearing, but before the second hearing, they went ahead and turned him over to George Tenet and Donald Rumsfeld to be tortured. And they held him without law in a brig in Charleston, South Carolina, and they gave him the CIA MKUltra drugs and sensory deprivation and temperature manipulation. They didn't give him the full Abu Ghraib torture to death, you know, like the salt pit outside of Kabul. They gave him the no-touch, drive you completely out of your mind torture there. And then the Supreme Court ducked it once on procedural grounds. They said that you don't have standing, you're suing out of the wrong district, kind of a, you know, piece of crap, cowardice. They ducked the case that way. And then the second time around, before it came up to the Supreme Court, George Bush chickened out. And they went ahead and had him indicted. And then some jury of the 12 dumbest people in Miami convicted him of knowing a guy who knew a guy who sent some money to Chechnya. And the proof was that they talked on the phone about a soccer game. And believe me, those code words mean know a guy who knows a guy who sends money to Chechnya. And never mind that all of the accusations of the dirty bomb and the apartment high-rise plot was all left out because it was never true. But anyway, Bush ducked that because he didn't have the authority to do what he did to Padilla. And so he chickened out. But if Bush didn't have the authority to do what he did to Padilla, then how does Obama have the authority to do what he did to Alaki? He couldn't possibly. And how could liberals have changed their opinion on this? On the limits of presidential power like this. Oh, John Kerry's Mideast peace talks have gone nowhere. Hey, all, Scott Horton here for the Council for the National Interest at councilforthenationalinterest.org. U.S. military and financial support for Israel's permanent occupations of the West Bank and Gaza Strip is immoral, and it threatens national security by helping generate terrorist attacks against our country. And face it, it's bad for Israel, too. Without our unlimited support, they would have much more incentive to reach a lasting peace with their neighbors. It's past time for us to make our government stop making matters worse. Help support CNI at councilforthenationalinterest.org. Hey, y'all, Scott Horton here for CashIntoCoins.com. So you want to buy some Bitcoins? CashIntoCoins.com makes it fast, easy, and safe to get Bitcoins. Just deposit the money into their account at any of the major banks they support, and then just email them a picture of the receipt and your Bitcoin address, and you get your Bitcoins. Almost always the same day it clears. In a tough, competitive new market, CashIntoCoins.com has the advantage. A great system and great customer service to keep you coming back. That's CashIntoCoins.com. Just click the link in the right margin at ScottHorton.org. All right, well, I don't know if it matters to you, but it matters to me, this whole drone thing. You can call and talk about it if you want. 512-271-4836. 512-271-4836. Also, I got tons to talk about myself. So, I'll go on and move that. I talked about the drone thing. I talked about the Boko Haram and the war on Islam. Democrats, too, in the House this morning. You should have seen them, man. You know, Anthony Gregory pointed out that George Bush was really kind of the lid on the anti-Muslim pot there. Right after September 11th, he said, whoa, now this is not about Islam. This is just, you know, kind of a fringe sect of guys who take it all out of context and go crazy. But Islam's not a problem. They're monotheists, just like us. And yada, yeah, he said. And that worked a little bit. But, well, quite a bit. I mean, there were hardly any hate crimes, you know, against Muslims. There are, you know, handfuls. I'm not diminishing the importance of any individual attack, but compared to a real-ass pogrom like happens in the world, we had nothing like that. Mostly the people who were attacked were Sikhs, right? Because they have the most obvious turbans, but they're not even Muslims at all. They're just wearing turbans. And so, to the dumber and more punch-prone, you know, they made easy targets, but we didn't have that thing. I mentioned the new BJP, right-wing nationalist party, coming to power now in India. I mentioned this the other day. Remember about how 2,000-something people were killed in a giant pogrom there by his party that he oversaw at the time. Well, guess what? I found a little bit more about that. It was in 2002. And bin Laden made a big deal about it. Why? Because it proved his thesis that he had been preaching all along, that the Americans don't care at all about human rights when it comes to Russia, China, and India in their wars against Muslims. They can do anything they want to Muslims, and the Americans will never say nothing about it at all. If they treat, you know, if the Chinese treated the Tibetans like this or something, they'd completely freak out and have a big conference and blah. And Michael Scheuer pointed that out. The former chief of the CIA's bin Laden unit said that was always part of bin Laden's narrative, was just look at how little these Americans really mean what they say. And he always cited our ignoring of India's crimes against Muslims. And then their now president committed this giant pogrom, killed 2,000-something people, and bin Laden had put out a podcast back then saying, see? I think James Bamford also wrote about that as well. You know, that's how people act about stuff like that in the old world. It was revenge for a bus fire. Maybe this was an attack that had killed some Hindus. But then, you know, the payback was 2,000 killed. Anyway. I got too many things to talk about, and I'm not sure which way to string them all together best. I guess, let me talk about Al-Qaeda here, because I think this is a real important thing. Eli Lake has been writing about this lately, and if you know about Eli Lake, then you know that you can't really take him too seriously most of the time when it comes to details and things like this. In this case, he's mostly confirming what I already know. He's just kind of fleshing it out and adding detail. Mostly the story isn't what Lake writes, it's that he wrote it, right? That's what's news to me. Eli Lake has a piece that is based on what he was told by some intelligence people, that they're really pissed off because Obama's trying to completely downsize the terror war at the same time that Al-Qaeda is on the rise. Now, he's married to his narrative that they're no longer a threat. Now, this is true and false in a lot of different ways, and I don't know if I am going to sound like I'm a hypocrite on it or what, but first and foremost, so nobody's confused, the only solution to this is for the U.S. government to just stop completely. But I'll concede a lot of facts to the war party here. I think that the Al-Qaeda movement spawned by the U.S. invasion of Iraq, and then especially the backing of the Mujahideen in Libya and Syria in the Obama years, that this and the, especially in the overthrow of Gaddafi and then the spreading of the war, all the blowback into Mali, etc., that this really has led to a massive increase in the number of bin Ladenite terrorists in the world who very well could be a threat to the United States of America, because we give them a reason to consider us their enemy. Even if our government withdraws, they still are in the middle, up to their eyeballs, in backing every king and sultan and tortured dictator and some of the revolutions in the region. And so, you know, they have certainly not made us safe by all their intervention. If you read the five-part series by Patrick Cockburn, man, it's gonna... I take Patrick Cockburn very seriously. And again, it's sort of... confirms what I already know from so many other different sources and just from looking at the facts of, you know, like the lack of authority that the Iraqi government, such as it is, has over the Sunni provinces. They really don't have that much. It's really kind of a lawless territory there. They're the tribal Sunni chiefs and that kind of thing. But the Zarqawiites have had basically free reign since they survived the surge of 07 and 08. To, you know, lick their wounds, build up their forces, and get back to war. And now 100 people a day are dying in Iraq. It's completely out of control. And it's not going to be under control anymore. The only person who could have kept it under control was Saddam Hussein or his sons, but oops. And I'm not saying America should have backed Saddam, but overthrowing him sure didn't work out well. And in fact, even if they'd just overthrown him and left, then the Shiites would have had to compromise with the Sunnis. It would have been much... At least it would have made a much more difficult proposition for the Shiites to completely just wage and win a civil war against the Sunnis and drive them completely out of Baghdad. But with American help, hell yeah, no problem. But so now they have not just all this lawless territory, but all this reason to fight with Nouri al-Maliki, who will never compromise with them and deal with them, share power with them in any way. And... then you got America supporting the jihad on the other side of the border. It's honestly kind of interesting to me the way Eli Lake doesn't really mention that. He's being so critical of Obama, and he's passing on people who are so harshly critical of Obama for pretending like the Al-Qaeda problem is over, while at the same time, no criticism of him for making the Al-Qaeda problem this much worse is included in there at all. What about the invasion of Libya in the first place, Eli Lake? Don't make me go back and read what you wrote in 2011, dude. Or 2002, in the case of Iraq. But now here's the thing, too. Obama's kind of right that the people who were really dedicated to attacking the United States were those closest to bin Laden and Zawahiri, and they basically have been killed. Old Al-Qaeda in Pakistan is gone. But ever since, that's old news anyway. Ever since 2003, bin Laden has succeeded. Ever since the toppling of Saddam, his goal came true of turning Al-Qaeda into a movement. into a belief system. And now, there are always, I guess not always, but ever since the Americans and British started really, you know, creating them, there have been these radical Sunni jihadist movements, but they're mostly focused on the Egyptian dictatorship, the Jordanian dictatorship, etc. And what bin Laden said that made him different and helped him to, you know, forge his alliance with Ayman al-Zawahiri and the Egyptian Islamic Jihad was that they wanted to attack the far enemy, the United States, in order to provoke the U.S. that was already at war against them in 10 ways, which ignoring Indian pogroms was just one, already at war with them in 6 or 7 or whatever ways. And so why not go ahead and bait them into completely invading and occupying Afghanistan? We can bleed them to bankruptcy. And if we can turn them again and destroy them just like the USSR, and if we can turn them against Saddam Hussein and turn them against the Ayatollah in Iran or against Assad in Damascus, then so much the better. That was the bin Ladenite plan. To radicalize a generation, to bankrupt America, to get regime change against the secular dictators. You keeping score here? The only thing he didn't succeed was power for himself. Right? It's kind of comical. You got to admit, Ayman al-Zawahiri podcasting from hiding in Pakistan, still trying to order these guys around 1,000 or 2,000 miles to the west of him and getting nowhere. You know, like when he tells ISIS to withdraw from Syria back into Iraq and they tell him, screw you, old man. You know, what are you going to do about it? Court-martial me or something and proceed on. But so, you know, I agree with Obama's position. If Obama's position really is wind this thing down, if he really is arguing in his own National Security Council meetings that, no, we don't want to have a war on terror. We want to have very specific, targeted, kinetic killings of people if we really, really got to, but otherwise completely wind this thing down and just ignore Boko Haram and al-Shabaab and Ansar al-Sharia and Jabhat al-Nusra, because screw them anyway, man, and they're not the real bin Ladenites anyway. And I guess he may be arguing too, he may correctly understand, Barack Obama, I mean, that we just keep making more of these the more we kill them. We gotta just lay off, and then at least they won't be focused on us anymore. The problem is with that, he's only going halfway. He's continuing to provoke the fight, even if he's not... well, I guess he's still doing every last thing. He's not occupying Iraq anymore. But other than that, he's backing every dictator and a couple of revolutions throughout the region, rigging the price of oil and supporting the Israeli occupation of Palestine and all the other reasons that was motivating them against the U.S. in the first place. So it seems more like a Bill Clinton policy than a Ron Paulian policy, right, of really ramping this thing down. That would mean ramping down intervention in the Middle East, which is provoking the terrorism against us in the first place. It'd be more like a Bill Clinton policy of let's provoke them, but then do nothing about it. Let's provoke them and then leave our defenses wide open and let them get one right on the chin. Yeah, it's... problematic problem. Oh boy, you know what's a problematic problem? Me keeping up with the clock. Me remembering to turn up the slider, man. Well, right now this is a commercial for offnow.org, but I won't drop you halfway into the middle of it. Offnow.org, they're nullifying the NSA at the state level. They got the California State Senate to pass their bill just the other day. No, really. There's a real battle being fought and real skirmishes being won in the battle, in the war for privacy and a rollback of the NSA. That's offnow.org. Hey, you own a business? Maybe we should consider advertising on the show. See if we can make a little bit of money. My email address is scott@scotthorton.org. All right, y'all. Well, you ain't got to call in if you ain't want to, but, you know, you can. 512-271-4836, 512-271-4836. I'm Scott Horton. This is my show, The Scott Horton Show. And, well, let's see. How many subjects left and how much time? All right, well, I got my whole thing about the cops, but I'll put that off for one more. Well, I don't know. I might get started on it this segment. But did you see this about Comey and the head of the, he's the head of the FBI, James Comey, saying he's trying to hire hackers to be good guy hackers to fight cybercrime, but all the hackers are pot smokers. Like, all of them. And FBI policy is you can't have smoked pot within the last few years or whatever it is. 3-4 years. And he's saying we have to change our policy. That's it. We have already. He says the agency has changed, past tense, both our mindset and the way we do business. He said it worked less in box than it had in the past. God, I hate the way politicians talk with all their newspeak and their jargon and their crap. Just speak English, you piece of crap. He doesn't mean inbox like an inbox. He means in the box, like you need to think outside the box in a synergistic sort of way, guy. Anyway, here's my only point. Either there's no such thing as the law, and or no, either he's a felon for breaking the law and conspiring to, go ahead and allow his employees to keep breaking it. Right? That the director of the FBI we're talking about. Or people that smoke pot aren't really criminals. Either way, this guy should have to resign his office, right? How can he be the head of the FBI that destroys the lives of people for just smoking pot? Or just trading in pot on very low levels daily? When he's the head law enforcement official at the federal level, anyway, in America. He gets to look the other way on weed? Okay, great. But he's got to look the other way for everybody that he's prosecuting for weed, too, then. We just have to call off the war on drugs, then. Or is this simply just another case of the law doesn't apply to the government? And if you ever thought it did, then you're a damned fool. If Barack Obama can murder you, then James Comey can smoke pot. And it doesn't have to be consistent with the law as it applies to you whatsoever. He might, this same guy, might send a SWAT team to prosecute you or someone in your family that you care about simply for having pot for medical purposes, for major crises even. I don't know. It's amazing to me that they can just be so blatant about it. Okay. If you're an FBI agent, you can smoke pot. Also, you can beat your wife and you can sell your kid and you can shoot any American citizen that you feel like murdering. And what? What can't you do? How about this, James Comey? Can your FBI hackers, are they allowed to sell weed? And if so, is there a limit on the amount of weight that they can deal in any particular time period? You see, the obvious point here is that the entire theory of having law at all, it's just a hoax. It's a smokescreen. It's like a very cheap and, to me, not very effective PR stunt. You know? Maybe like a commercial on TV for a new kind of shoe or cereal. Yeah, guess what, everybody? The people in the government, they're just citizens just like you. And the law applies to them just like you. And that's why you should put up with the law applying to you. Because it applies to them too. Why did I ever tell you about that time that Richard Nixon had to resign? That's right, because even though he was the president, he was just a citizen. And he was as subject to the law as you and... Oh, yeah, they pardoned him. Huh. Well, anyway, but he did have to resign, though. And meanwhile, government lies and steals and murders all day, every day. They break any law they want. All day, every day. What if James Comey's hackers wanted to do some meth in order to stay up all night doing some hacking? We would just see a new guideline. Okay, okay, you can do crank too. Because, you see, there's no such thing as the law. The law is just an excuse for the government to steal from you and or kill from you. Kill from you? And or kill you if they feel like it. Well, the word from is written on a page in front of my eyes, and so I got my eyeball brain crossed with the other part of my brain and kind of exploded. Anyway, I'll give you a better example. It's a fun example. It's a law school class, and the teacher knew that this guy's kind of a right-winger Republican, and this lady, she's kind of a doe-eyed Democrat, right? So here's the case, everybody. It was a civil case. No government employees involved. Okay? Civil case. It was a small town, one doctor. The doctor was on her day off. Somebody had an emergency. The doctor said, "No, man, this is my day off, and I'm taking it." And the person died. And so is the doctor liable or not? And, of course, the liberal went off to prove that the law says yes. And the conservative went off to prove that the law says no. And then they both made their case, and then they both got really mad at the professor for not ever announcing the judge, right? For not saying who was right. Because, of course, the answer was they were both right, and they were both wrong, and the law is just make-believe. There's no such thing as the law. The law doesn't say that she has to do this or that, or, of course, it does, but it also says the opposite, too. The law is just nothing. They were both right, and they were both wrong. And that doctor has a right, and also she has no rights. And that doctor had an obligation, also she had no obligation at all. And there's no such thing as the law. And that's why cops can murder you or your little sister or whoever they feel like, if they feel like it, and get away with it. And that's why at the Department of Justice and the FBI, you can smoke pot if you want. As long as you work for the FBI. But the rest of you will bury you under the Supermax. And that's not hyperbole either. It's no longer in my police state section, I don't think. Actually, pretty close. There was one the other day, right? Remember the one, the guy in, Appalachia or something somewhere. He's a sick old man. Sick old man, grew a few plants for his own purposes, lived way out in the country, not bothering anybody, not selling his weed to anybody, and the feds came and nailed him, and he's already in his 70s, and they're going to give him life in prison. They're going to give him 20 years in prison for growing pot plants in his own house to smoke, not even because it makes him happy, but just because it relieved his pain. There was a whole big write-up about it in McClatchy newspapers just a couple of weeks ago. The feds, James Comey, gonna bury this old man who never committed an actual crime, gonna bury him under the Supermax. After he went and killed nobodies for no reason in Vietnam for this government and everything, this is how they're gonna repay him. They're gonna give him life in prison. Just like this guy here in Texas, just up here in Williamson County. Man, you shouldn't live in Williamson County. That's dangerous. Up in Williamson County, this kid was making pot brownies. And did he confess to using hash oil instead of just weed in his pot brownies? Is that it? How do they know that? Somehow, here's the technicality in the so-called law. All right? Is that he used hash oil in the brownies. And so then they can weigh the entire weight of the brownies. All the sugar, all the flour, all the cocoa, all the weed, all the everything. Because the law, this pretend thing called the law, says that they can. And so now this kid is facing 5 to life. He is facing the possibility of life in prison for making some pop brownies. And selling them to his friends. They've weighed baked goods in this case. It ought to be a misdemeanor. He's facing life. And you know, the thing is too, and I have to point this out, I can't help it, man. The father says, hey, I'm a war veteran. Here it is. I'm a conservative. I love my country. I'm a Vietnam veteran. But I'll be damned, this is wrong. Because they're doing it now, finally, to his son. And now, you know, for all I know, this guy is just some working stiff, man. It's not like he's necessarily had the power. It's not all his fault. But let's get real. It's the warfare state that empowers this national government in all of its wars, including the war on drugs. And it's conservatives, hardcore, at least a little bit subtly racist, law and order conservatives who love drug wars as long as it means endlessly locking up young black and brown males for daring to possess. Go right ahead. Come on, Joe, the father of Jacob. Be honest. You really cried every time they locked up some poor black kid for years for having drugs in his pocket. You never cared about them. You're a conservative. I love my country means you love George Bush. You love war. You love cops. You love denouncing everyone in America who knows better than you. Oh, I heard Benghazi. Yeah, well, now you, who loves the state so much that you're willing to kill innocent people for it, that you're willing to turn out and vote Republican for your Williamson County judges, now you're going to see what it's like. And actually, probably not, right? They're going to let this kid go. After all, he's white, and his father is a conservative and a war veteran. But maybe not. Maybe not. But I think conservatives, you know, it's sort of like Rand Paul having to explain to the U.S. Senate today that, hey, the Bill of Rights is the Bill of Rights for a reason, man. It's sort of like the same kind of thing here. Hey, guess what, Joe? The war on drugs has been an atrocity for decades, and you loved it. Now, I'm not saying that that means his son deserves what he's getting. I never did say that, and that's not what I mean. His son is an individual, and his son's got a right. I just think that the father should take a little bit of responsibility for being a drug war monger. You know, my dad has been good on the drug war since, like, 1987 or something, right? Since the first time he ever heard anyone say, maybe even before that, well, this doesn't make any sense, you know? Prohibiting people's behavior and just creating black markets and crime and driving up the cost. And how's this make sense at all? So what's your excuse, Joe, conservative Republican who votes for Republican judges to sit on benches in Williamson County, huh? What's your excuse? Other than you never bothered considering what was happening to anyone else as long as it wasn't your boy. I want to see Joe Lavero now out in the front of every parade to release every young black and brown man from prison and woman, too, for their drug crimes. Right? Come on, Joe. It's not just your rich young jock son with a nice haircut and a nice pedigree and all that whose rights you care about, is it? It's everybody's rights. Right, Joe? Or not? That's what conservatism means, man. Conservatism means, screw them. I mean, except mine. Screw everybody else, though. I guess you're the fascist, right? Why do we let the socialists get away with calling themselves liberals? It's not fair. We should call socialists a socialist, and we should call a conservative a fascist, because that's what they are. They're totalitarian monsters, the American conservatives. They're the enemies of everything good and true and beautiful in this world. You can ask Jacob. He'll explain. He's facing life in prison because of conservatism. Not because he sold some pot. Because of those who would persecute him for the non-crime of selling some pot. Check this one out. Here's some more conservatism for you. Conservatism means sending your boys off to war, or better, sending the neighbor's boys off to war, sending the black and the brown from the poor part of town off to war, cheering wildly as they go. And then, when they come back, arming up the ones who get jobs as cops for preparation for basically full-scale war against the rest of them. What in the hell? Well, this is from local Fox 59, whatever city this is. Doesn't matter, does it? It's in Indiana, central Indiana. Here we go. Armed for war. Pentagon surplus gives local police an edge. As the American military draws down its commitments in Iraq and Afghanistan, stateside ports, armories, depots, and warehouses are packed with excess military material and vehicles. Some of them, none the worse, from their tours in overseas war zones. A lot of those weapons, uniforms, trucks, and mine-resistant vehicles are patrolling the streets of central Indiana at virtually no cost to law enforcement agencies. It saves a substantial amount of money, said Steve Harless, deputy commissioner of the Indiana Department of Administration. Last year alone, we saved approximately $14 million, and this year we're on pace to save a little over $13 million. I guess he gets one this year around, right? That's millions of tax dollars saved by 326 Indiana sheriffs and police chiefs who otherwise could not afford the gear they say they need to protect the public from increasingly heavily armed criminals. When I first started, we didn't really have the violence that we see today, said Sergeant Dan Downing of the Morgan County Sheriff's Department. Quote, the weaponry is totally different now than it was in the beginning of my career. Plus, you have a lot of people who are coming out of the military that have the ability and knowledge, right? You think he's going to say to use these weapons in very careful, specialized ways in order to protect people? No. Plus, you have a lot of people who are coming out of the military that have the ability and knowledge to build IEDs and to defeat law enforcement techniques. What? We're importing a bunch of Afghan and Iraqi veterans of Al-Qaeda in Iraq who have a lot of experience building IEDs? Did this cop just conflate every returning veteran with the terrorists that they've been fighting? You know, the civilians that they've been occupying in their own countries overseas? You see how easy that is to just make a slight sleight of hand? He probably didn't even notice himself, the little sleight of hand he did there. Well, we have the soldiers coming back, and they are dangerous terrorists. And that's why the cops need M16s. That's why they need $700,000 MRAP, gigantic, mine-resistant vehicles. And 50 caliber rifles for fighting the people of Indiana, the brave young men of Indiana, our idols, the very best and brightest of us, those that we worship, our fighting soldiers. They're the terrorists. They must, the police must be prepared for war against them. That's what the state thinks of its servants. What do you think they think of you? Here, I thought soldiers were the only ones who had any rights, since they're the only ones of us who fight for them. You wouldn't even have the right to complain if it wasn't for me killing Iraqis. And no, I can't explain the cause and effect there, because that doesn't make any sense. It's more likely that you have free speech because of the fourth phase of Jupiter, or whatever the crap. But anyway, you can't say nothing unless you've been in the military. All right, well, apparently being a soldier doesn't guarantee you got any rights either. In fact, someone just submitted an article to antiwar.com, which unfortunately was too poorly written to run, but it was a pretty extensive, pretty shocking rundown of returning veterans persecuted, shot, and killed, and whatever, and overreactions and murders by American cops since coming home from Iraq and Afghanistan. These cops, even the veterans themselves, when they become cops, are being trained to be terrified that these guys might want to blow your head off. Not that you should have a guilty conscience for being a cop, because nothing wrong with that, right? And then here's the other thing I got to bring up about this, because I can't help it. Once in 1997, and I remember it well, once in 1997, two guys robbed a bank in Los Angeles, in North Hollywood, I guess it was, with AK-47s and drum clips, and it was a big deal. And this has now become the excuse for every SWAT team in America to have fully automatic rifles, because this happened once in L.A. And it's funny the way they talk about this, where he says, hey, if we go to a bank robbery, let's say, and we're armed with our sidearm, we're going to be outgunned. No, that only happened once. That only happened once. If you go to a bank robbery 999 times out of 1,000, better, they're going to be armed with handguns. You liar. That thing with the AK-47s happened once. How many bank robberies have happened in America since that robbery in North Hollywood in 1997? 100,000? Each and every one of them, they were armed with pistols and handguns. Liar. But oh no, this is why every deputy needs an M16. No, that's the excuse. The truth is, they want to be able to murder you. And they want to be able to murder you really good with an automatic rifle because, yeah, fun, kill, blood makes the grass grow. Remember, these terrorists, a lot of them, terrorists as they put it, are coming home and joining the police departments. That's who's going to be on both sides of the rifles in the coming wars in America. Oh, who would have thought that the government would be terrified of the millions of men they have trained to be psychopathic killers over the last decade? Uh-oh. They might could get out of hand, especially when they can't get a job. Especially when they got nothing to do but sit around being pissed off at those who sent them to war based on lies and wasted all of their money that could be spent employing them instead helping them to kill people. But there it is, in the words of the cops, the soldiers are coming back. They're coming out of the military, and they are the ones who know how to build the IEDs, right? There he goes, right there, blam. Iraq War veterans, now you are Al-Qaeda in Iraq, get it? Not Al-Qaeda in Iraq that Obama is actually backing in Syria right now. Those are the moderates. Shut up about that. You are Al-Qaeda in Iraq, U.S. Army veteran. According to Sergeant Dan Downing of the Morgan County Sheriff's Department. Oh, and one time there was a bank robbery with an AK-47 or two. And by the way, in that bank robbery back in LA in 1997, they murdered both of those guys. The one guy, he was out of bullets and walking away down the street, and he was no longer a threat. They did not say get down or anything like that at that point. They got close enough, and then they shot him straight in the head, right there live on TV. They murdered him. And I could understand maybe their adrenaline was pumping after getting shot at with AK-47s and stuff. It was kind of a big deal. But at the time that they murdered the guy, it was over. He was walking away. And there was no one within his reach, and he had no more firearms on him, and they could have just as easy rushed him and tackled him and handcuffed him right there, but instead they murdered him. And the other guy, they shot him from further away, but only in the gut. And then they stood there live on TV. I remember it in 1997. I was watching it. They stood there live on TV. The cops surrounded him, and they kept the ambulance from coming to his aid. And they sat there, and they waited until he bled out in the middle of the street. The LAPD murdered both of those two bank robbers from 1997. That's who you're dealing with when you're dealing with the cops. Murderers. No better than armed bank robbers. declared avowed enemies of even our heroes, the American soldiers who go and fight all these unjust, aggressive wars against civilians in their own countries. Welcome home, veteran. I know the TV commercial promised that we're all going to really treat you good from now on, but the cops are being trained that you are an Al-Qaeda in Iraq IED-creating terrorist and that they better shoot you rather than talk to you because they should be terrified of you because of what a terrorist you are. It's right here at Fox59.com. Armed for war. Pentagon surplus gives local police an edge over the Pentagon's former soldiers. Hey, y'all, Scott here. First, I want to take a second to thank all the show's listeners, sponsors, and supporters for helping make this show what it is. I literally couldn't do it without you. And now I want to tell you about the newest way to help support the show. Whenever you shop at Amazon.com, stop by ScottHorton.org first and just click the Amazon logo on the right side of the page. That way the show will get a kickback from Amazon's end of the sale. It won't cost you an extra cent. And it's not just books. Amazon.com sells just about everything in the world except cars, I think. So whatever you need, they've got it. Just click the Amazon logo on the right side of the page at ScottHorton.org or go to ScottHorton.org/Amazon.
All right, you guys. Let me mention real quick, if you haven't seen it, just search around. It won't be hard, and you can find this footage of the IDF murdering these Palestinian kids on Nakba Day there. On Israeli Independence Day. A land without people, if you squint your eyes really tight and pretend that you can't see them. Oh, and stick your fingers in your ears and pretend you can't hear their cries. Yeah, anyway, so there are these kids in the occupied West Bank, and the IDF just kills them for sport. And it's right there on video, and everybody can see it. And, man, I hate seeing stuff like that, honestly. You know, I got enough pictures of dead people in my brain for the last more than my lifetime. It's pretty horrible. But, you know, Americans, I think that, you know, we owe it to the Palestinians to at least know the truth about what it is that our government is paying the Israeli government to do to them every day. You know, don't we owe them that to at least care enough to pay attention to see that, hey, the people of the West Bank are basically enslaved. I mean, it's not like they're not really enslaved because the Israelis don't really want them there. They don't really want to use them as labor. Not that much. I mean, somewhat they do, but not that much. I mean, mostly they're just helots, right? They're just these 10th class citizens. They're not citizens at all. They're nobodies. Millions of them. Under foreign military occupation for 50 years? And every once in a while, the soldiers of the occupying army like to shoot their children for sport. Hey, see that one right there? I bet I could kill him from here. Okay. You're going to owe me a Coke. Bang. And then they kill him. You know, like the Palestinians were nothing but American citizens and the IDF were cops. They can just murder whoever they feel like. And anyway, it's just that Americans get such a biased narrative about how you know, the poor Israelis are just endlessly besieged by all their brown and funny language talking Arab enemies. And when will the Palestinian occupation of the West Bank ever end? Oh, woe is the poor Israelis. And I just like to point out from time to time that that's all just lies. It's just the exact opposite of the truth. And the people who push that kind of narrative, most of them, they know they're lying. That's why they say it that way, because they know that the truth discredits them. And so they have to turn it upside down. Like Frank Luntz. You know who Frank Luntz is, right? That big fat jerk, Republican Party pollster. You see him on Fox News from time to time, that kind of thing. He came out with a study. You can find the PDF file online somewhere. He came out with a study. It was research that he did with different focus groups for the Israel lobby in America. And here's how you have to frame all the issues of the occupation. You have to lie about everything. You have to just outright lie. You have to just outright turn the truth upside down. You just have to pretend that the Palestinians are occupying the West Bank. That, yeah, it is like Jim Crow pseudo-slavery. And when will the Palestinian tyrants ever just let the poor Jews live wherever they want?
Wait, what? You're talking about in the occupied territory where the Israelis build settlements. Yeah, in fact, wherever they want. Steal whatever water they want. Hunt down the local children for sport when they want. But it's the Palestinians that are the whites and the Jews that are the blacks in the Jim Crow West Bank, huh? No, only because Frank Luntz did a focus group and said, holy crap, we better lie our asses off about every single point of fact or we'll never get away with it. The American people will turn on the Israelis if they know the truth about what they're doing. In fact, one of them, and this was the one that was funny to me, was, don't ever mention zoning. You know, that's what the Israelis love to do all the time in East Jerusalem. Oh, your home that has existed since 1920, it's in violation of all the zoning codes. Unfortunately, we're going to have to bulldoze your ancient cemetery in order to build... I couldn't make this up. I swear to God this is true. Triple check me on this. Man, really. Your angry friend who don't like it, make him Google it. Seriously. Your ancient cemetery must be bulldozed so that we can build a museum of tolerance here. Because your ancient cemetery is not up to the zoning codes that the occupation army authority has put down for East Jerusalem. And Frank Luntz said, oh my God, don't say zoning codes to the American people. If the American people ever find out that Israel is using zoning codes to violate the property rights of the Palestinians, we're finished. We're doomed. You know what'll happen then? They'll realize we're pure evil. Stealing land from innocent people. Bulldozing houses, bulldozing cemeteries, killing and stealing, guilty of violating every part of the Ten Commandments. They'll hate us. The Americans will hate us if they find out that zoning is the excuse that you use to steal property from Palestinian civilians. Call it off. Let the word go out to Hasbarists across the planet, at least in this country anyway, across all the social networks. Don't ever invoke zoning. I know, if you say to a conservative in America, hey, they're breaking the law, they'll get all hot and bothered and say, well, go ahead and kill them then. But if you say, yeah, but it's a zoning law, then they will say, what? A zoning law? Who's using a zoning law? The Israelis are using zoning laws to steal property from Palestinians, to bulldoze their cemeteries, to build museums of tolerance on top of? Oh, hell no. That's it. Israel is an apartheid state. That's it. Israel, they're not conservatives. They're fascists. They're beyond the pale. They're evil. They hunt children for sport. They use zoning laws to steal property from the Palestinian helots that they have invaded and conquered and occupied. Damn them. Damn them. That's what Frank Luntz figured out would happen. That's what Frank Luntz found out when he asked the focus group, what if I told you, focus group, that but the Palestinians are in violation of the zoning codes? And the focus group went, what? Zoning codes? And Frank Luntz went, whoa, big mistake. Okay, I got an idea. How about this? How about the Palestinians invaded and conquered the West Bank and the Israeli Jews are the ones who have no rights, and it's the Palestinians who are building settlements and stealing their water, and it's the Palestinians who are the whites, and it's the Israelis who are the blacks in the Jim Crow system in the occupied West Bank. Would you buy that? And they said, I don't know, I guess that sounds plausible enough to me. Yeah, right? Yeah, the poor, helpless Israeli Jews, besieged on all sides by the evil brown Arabic-speaking terrorists, right? Yeah, okay, I'll buy that. When will the Palestinian occupation of the West Bank ever end? The focus group cried by the time Frank Luntz was done with them. It's easy. You just have to lie. You just have to lie. And if you can get the people to believe your lies, then they'll think that you're the good guy. Thank goodness for Frank Luntz and the Republican polling industry. Man, I didn't mean to even take that whole segment complaining about Israel. I wanted to mention why did you shoot me? Teen victim of deputy shooting here. That's at Daily Crier. And here, a cover-up in Miami. This prisoner, they burned him to death in the shower with water so hot all of his skin shriveled up. They left him in there for an hour. His last words were, "I can't take it no more. I'm sorry. I won't do it again," he screamed over and over as the police, you know, the keepers of the peace, burned him to death with boiling water in Miami. Albuquerque police promote cop who burned homeless man's ear off. Cops beat veteran to death after a traffic stop for no license plate. Tennessee cop who choked handcuffed student unconscious will retire with his full pension and no charges. I know, I'm out of time.